You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, you are. Been on this radio station Saturday mornings for many, many years. Walter Assey from Inovco is in the studio. Welcome back. Good to have you back in studio.
Good to be back.
So you were just telling me for a minute there that we had to chat during the newscast. The snowstorm on yesterday made for a busy day at Inovco.
You know, anytime you have extreme weather, you have extreme occurrences that happen. Snow tends to create things heavy, sometimes, you know, structures that are not very solid. They have issues because of the weight and the ice. They collapse, they move, they create cracks in buildings. So, yeah. You know, any occurrence that puts your house under stress beside the normal day to day could create these types of emergencies, unfortunately.
I think we had about, when all is said and done, I think we had about 24, 25 centimeters of snow falling. Yeah.
Yeah, and mixed with ice makes it very heavy.
514-790-0800 to talk to Walter. Pick his brain. He's here for the full hour. It's free advice. You don't get that everywhere. Sometimes you just need someone to talk to, and this is the guy. Let's start with Eric out in Il Perro. Eric, good morning.
Good morning.
You want to talk about an issue with your chimney, right?
Correct. I do have a cottage where the when we start the kitchen range or the bathroom fans or the dryers, where we do smell the chimney smell in the house, and I'm wondering it's probably because the place is so sealed up that it creates a negative pressure, and the only way for the air to come in is through the chimney. My question is that if I do install an air exchanger, would it reestablish or rebalance that negative pressure inside the house?
If your house is well sealed like that, you're obliged to install an air exchanger. I don't know what year construction your house was, but
it's 88.
So if it's updated to today's standards, okay, then obviously it's a code requirement. The reason being is when you are starting a kitchen exhaust fan or a bathroom fan, you are creating negative pressure. So the air in the house is being sucked out towards that area in particular. It's the positive air going to the negative air, obviously. And that's creating for you all kind of smell. Now, the chimney that you're talking about, is it the wood-burning chimney or it's...
Yes, it's a wood-burning chimney.
Okay, and I presume that happens when you're using it, you smell it, or you're smelling it all the time?
It's all the time, actually. Once there's a fire burning and the draft is going up in the chimney, we don't smell it anymore. But if there's no fire going on and I open all these air extractors in the house, then the smell comes in.
Okay, so that definitely it's because your house is well sealed and that's creating the negative pressure. So anything that can be drawn to that area is being drawn, and that's what's creating the smell. An air exchanger should help for sure. Now, obviously, if you want to. It should help also for the quality of air that you have in the house, because obviously when you're too well sealed, the house is not getting fresh air intake, so it makes for a very bad air quality as well. In this case, what I would install, especially that you're in a cottage, is a heat recovery system and not an air exchanger.
Heat recovery, okay.
The reason being, an air exchanger does not heat the air coming in. So it will make for a much hefty heating bill. A heat recovery system does what an air exchanger does, but it heats the air before it brings it in, the fresh air intake. So it's okay. A win-win. In cottages, we have more extreme weather. It's typically colder, so it's better. I mean, even in any home, really, but specifically in cottages, it is very well recommended.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 514-790-0800. Can I mention something from the text line here? It's from Linda in Beaconsfield. When do you start, or what do you look for, I guess? When do you start, I'm trying to just make sense of this. When do you start worrying about foundation cracks? When do you start taking them seriously? Is there something you should look for, like a gauge?
Yes, it's a good question. Because most of the time, when we look at a crack, you know, either it's a hairline crack that is only in the crepi, which is the, you know, the finish mortar on your foundation, and it does not protrude through the real foundation. That is nothing to worry about. It's just superficial and it's just cosmetic. The wider the crack, the more serious it is. Meaning, if you see a hairline issue on the crepi, it's not necessarily a crack. I mean, a more trained eye will tell you. But if you find that it is a bit more serious, it's a bit more wired, then it becomes an issue. Now, obviously, there are the telltale signs that are more obvious. Dampness in the basement, smell of mustiness, humidity, watermarks, and so on and so forth. This tells you that you have a more serious issue happening. So in this case, you're better off calling a professional looking at it before it starts leaking. Now, why you should take it seriously? Because sometimes the amount of water that comes in through that crack is unbelievable. If you just want to see, have an idea, if you go on YouTube and you put, you know, water leaking through a foundation crack, through the hydrostatic pressure, you'll be amazed of how water comes in. Okay? So it's not saying that it's going to be it's little droplets and what have you. Beside the fact that a crack, like anything else, it grows when, if you, like a windshield crack, if you don't
address it. Yeah.
And the foundation is the most important part of your home. So you want it to be strong and you want it to be solid and so on and so forth.
All right. Very good. 514-790-0800. And the text line is 514-800, by the way. But the phone number, if you want to talk to Walter and ask him something, call now. 514-790-0800. We have about 3 minutes before we need to break, Walter. And a text came in, and I know we already addressed this this question from this texter a few weeks ago, but maybe we can give him the shorter version. It's Rob from Laval, and you talked about this. He was wondering about undertaking a major renovation. With a looming recession, are more contractors available, lower prices for materials, or are things going to stay expensive and it will be hard to get contractors?
Yeah, so we talked about it last time because it is a very important subject. Typically in recessions, home renovations go up, they don't go down. So we tend to be busier. It's a more sure investment for everybody. People hunker down, they stay more at home, they don't want to go out as much, so they want to improve their home. They don't go out as much, so they don't travel as much, so they cut on the other things that are around their life, but their household stays important, like in pandemic. The pandemic, there was a lot of uncertainty, but everybody kind of wanted to protect their investment. And believe it or not, in our industry in particular, I mean, I can't talk for other industries, I can talk for some that are related to our industries. It goes a bit beyond the fact of contractors available or not. There is a shortage of labor. So the demand will always be higher than the supply, simply because there's not enough people doing that job. The newer generation are veering away from construction, and, you know, there is one of the areas that one of the studies that was done was actually done by Home Depot in the States. And they started that study because they started getting questions about, you know, from their floor technicians or floor the service people there, that were a bit more, if you want, elementary in construction, like things that usually they would not get asked questions.
The basics?
The basics, and even more obvious than the basics. So they went to management and they said, like, the younger generation asking us questions that are a bit, you know, we're not used to these types of questions. They're very, like, elementary. And so they made a study to see if how, you know, for the younger generation to see if they know which side of the hammer to use. And the results were astonishing.
Really?
A lot of them are not, you know, manual. They're born in a technological world. They want to be in computer. They want to be in this, you know, and construction industry is hard. So we don't have a relève. And what happens during the pandemic is a lot of people in their 50s, which were, you know, the better, more experienced construction technicians, took the retirement.
Yeah.
Or changed professions yeah. altogether. Mm. So, yeah, that I don't see how it's going to change unless you have a baby boom of, you know, generation that's going to all come into construction. Material-wise, believe it or not, we just got our price list for materials. And, again, there's increases in materials.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
Because supply chains is an issue and so on and so on. So it's, and demand, again, you're going to have the demand, so I don't see why the materials will go down.
Rob, thank you. I hope that helped you out. 9:15.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
I can never find it. It's either in the toolbox or in the junk drawer, the whatchamacallit. 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter Assey from Renovco. Like Wayne just did, he dialed that number up. He's in Saint-François-Laval. Wayne, good morning.
Morning.
You want to talk to Walter about...
Well, I'm wondering if there's a such a thing as a sewer pipe sleeve. And the reason I'm asking is at my tee, any overflow water that goes to the overflow side won't drain. And I had a plumber come in, and everything was clear. He took me right out to the street with the camera. But it seems there's the pipe is broken or something and it's dropped about a half an inch. Mm-hmm. So any water that goes to the overflow side won't completely drain out. And it gives a bit of a smell in my one of my rooms.
Yeah. Actually, there is. They can't always succeed into doing it. There are companies that specialize into creating, if you wish, another coating to kind of reinforce the existing pipe. They will have to pass a camera and they will tell you if they can or can't do it. Now, if it can be done, it's a fraction of the cost. I believe it's about 80% cheaper to do it this way. Then replace excavating and replacing the whole pipe to the outside. But beforehand, what they have to do, and unfortunately it's something that you probably would have to pay for, is they would charge you for a camera inspection.
Right, because I had that, and I, because I thought I had a blockage, mm-hmm. and that's why I called them in originally. And when he didn't find any problems, I paid him an extra $100 for the camera.
Yeah. So what you have is a crack, and what happens sometimes in cases like this, or even when you have a pipe that settles, is when you have a lot of water rushing through, it tend to back up a bit to your house, and it could create that smell and these issues. So when there's no water passing through, you don't see the issue because, there's like you said, there's no blockage. It's when you're overloading the system, how it backs up just because the water is not being channeled fast enough through the sewers. So eventually this will cause you problems, unfortunately. Do it on your own terms, because when it does cause you problems, you're going to have sewers backing up in your basement, which really you don't want. You're going to have to rush the job and so on and so forth. Call these companies. If you have, did the guy give you a copy, a USB or something that you can keep and show the company so you don't have to pay for a camera inspection again?
Well, I have the receipt. I had it, this was about 2 years ago. And it's not really a huge issue, but when I take the cap off mm-hmm. in the other room, you can see a little bit of water, and so I know it's not exiting. But the problem is the room is finished, and I don't want to have to break up the cement because it's all tiled and everything. You know, like it would be a big deal to.
Yes, I totally get it. So they do install, like I said, there are companies that do liners, and the only thing is that they can't always succeed. What they do is they come, they assess, and if they can, they will give you a price on the spot. If they can't, they will, unfortunately, because they're also plumbers, so they will also suggest the same thing that any plumber would, which is breaking the concrete and doing this and doing that, and it's a bit more intrusive.
So when I call a plumber, what do I ask him for? Just a sleeve or something? Or an
no, there are specialized companies. I will not name any on the air, but I could maybe off the air, I could send you a few links to companies that do this type of work. Not every plumber does it, unfortunately. So if you would call a plumbing company that does not have, because it's specialized equipment, specialized trucks, and so on and so forth, and specialized training, it was at one point, there was only one company in Quebec that did that. And that was maybe 10, 12 years ago. Now a lot of others have caught on to the technology and they're using the same thing. So I will send you that off air, and you know, you could call them and start the conversation with them. Now, having said that, Wayne, if, and this is just a tip for you, if the water overflows in that area and it goes on your subfloor, then that becomes an insurance issue, okay? And that should be covered in most policies to open up. And they will not pay for the repair of the cause, but they will pay for what the plumber needs to do to get to the cause to repair it. But only in an occurrence where you feel that this is a flooding situation, or even if it's a minor flood, even if it's some of the water that overflew, it's considered a water damage occurrence. Okay, so that's something, I don't know how bad it got and how much it overflew or what have you. But the reason I'm saying this, because if it's not repaired through a sleeve or an easy fix, you are right, it might be intrusive. They have to break the subfloor, the floor, go into the concrete. So it's thousands of dollars worth of repairs afterwards. So if it is a case where the water overflew, you can definitely call your insurance company and have the discussion to see if it's covered or not.
Okay, yeah, no, it doesn't overflow at all. It just sort of sits there.
Yeah.
And it gives off an odor.
So let's make sure it doesn't overflow and it doesn't get worse. I will, like I said, maybe off air they will take your email. I'll send you some links and you can start the conversation with all these companies.
Yeah, ask for my email.
Yeah, Wayne, yes. We're gonna put you on hold, and Jimmy and Master Control is gonna take your email address down, and we'll pass it on to Walter.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Let me put him on hold right there. 9:27. Can I before we get to news? Can I give you something from the text line?
Of course,
if you don't mind. I received a flyer regarding radon testing in my mailbox at home. Is it a good idea or is it expensive?
You could do your own radon testing. There are
kits.
Self-testing kits, or if you wish, radon testing kits that you could do at home, do it yourself.
Where do you get them at? Like the Home Depot?
Anywhere, yeah. Really, even on the internet, Amazon, Home okay. Depot. Now, but there's a trick. There are some that are few days testing, 15 days and what have you. These are, in my own personal opinion, no good. You want at least a 9-to-1-day radon testing kit. Why? Because in different times of the year, you might have different levels of radon in your home.
Okay.
In your home.
So a bigger window of time.
Bravo. So 91 days of testing, that's what we want. And then, you know, you could, and then you send off that. So you bring it, you open it, you follow the instructions, you have the test, sits there for 91 days. 91 days later, you grab it, you send it to the lab, and they come back with the results and what and everything else. If you're doing a 15-day one, a 7-day one, I've seen all kinds, chances are it's not accurate. It is not. So the longer you have the test, the more accurate the results will be.
Okay, very good. There you go, Texter, out in Lavelle. Just about 9:29, 514-790-0800 is the number to call if you want to talk to Walter. He's here for another half hour from Renovco, so give him a call if you have any issues at home where you need a little bit of guidance. Sometimes you just need someone to talk to, and that's the beauty of the Home Improvement Show. It's free advice for an entire hour every Saturday morning. Again, 514-790-0800. Coming right back with more of your calls after this.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Second half, 9:35. You can call in right now and grab a line at 514-790-0800, like Tony did out in Côte-Saint-Luc. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You want to talk about your furnace chimney?
Yes. I have a bioenergy system and an oil furnace coupled with electric boiler. The problem I have actually is at the base of the chimney, I've been trying to find out what it's called. There is that clean-out box that you take out and vacuum when they clean the soot off the chimney. Now, that box and the concrete around it has sort of all, you know, corroded and the box has fallen off. Mm-hmm. So I have covered it temporarily, but I would like to know where I can get the box, and I guess to get someone to install it, you know, break the concrete around it and then put in fresh concrete so that it won't come out, and install a new one.
Yeah. So
where do you buy these things, and what is it called? Is it called an ash clean-out box or something?
It is called an ash clean-out box, but the best person probably to assist you with that and the best profession would be a chimney sweep. That's what they do. They kind of, they clean your chimney, and sometimes they repair chimney caps and they do the maintenance that is required for your chimney. So if you'd call it chimney sweep, they're probably going to be giving you a price, labor, and material. At the same time, especially if they're there to clean your chimney and to do the maintenance on it, it will be the best combination. So have it timed out on the same time.
What are they called? Sorry, the name?
Chimney sweep. So if you just Google
Oh, yes, chimney. I have someone, the Ramana.
Ramonage in France.
He does it every, like, 3 years, because I don't use it since it's bioenergy. So I can call them and ask them to see whether they could come and do it.
Yes, so especially if you're due for a maintenance, it's a great timing that they come and do it at the same time.
I will probably get it done.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I've covered it with the dough, you know, because the frame has fallen off. Pressed it against. The only issue I see is that you increase the draft a bit, so it may not be that efficient, because I will be leaking around it.
Yeah, I mean, what you could do is you could try to seal it or foam it for now until it's fixed, because it will definitely increase the draft for you, and you will have some leaks. So, and you don't want any downdrafts going from there
No.
So, yeah.
Tony, a few years ago, when the chimney sweep guy came, we had him install a chimney cap. So, yeah, they'll do the work for you.
I have a chimney cap, yes.
Yeah. So that's what they do. I mean, they really look at all the, especially there's some that are very good. And I've dealt with some that are very basic.
Yeah.
But I've dealt with others that are extremely detailed. And as a matter of fact, there's one in particular that I dealt with a couple of years ago, and they don't charge much when they come. Like, they charge $100 or
it's reasonable,
or yeah, very reasonable. Yeah. And I kid you not, I think the guy spent a couple of hours between cleaning and explaining and going over stuff. It was very impressive for the amount of money he charged, how much effort he put to to kind of explain, and he went above and beyond his call of duty. So if you catch a good one, hold on to him.
Okay, you wouldn't be able to give me his name, huh?
Maybe off air, just because of sponsorship issues with Bell, but we could maybe do it off air for you.
I'm looking for it. I'm going to grab Tony's number right now. There you go.
Okay.
All right, I got it. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. We're going to take your email address down. All right, let me put them on hold. 514-790-0800. We had a question, I think, last week on the text line that I think you did a little homework on. It was involved a wax gasket under the toilet seat. And I guess the text wanted to know how long those would last.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I have to say, that was a question that stumped me, because I never thought about it and to have an accurate answer like that. But I was lucky because I did not do the homework. The homework came to me.
Mm.
So I'm not going to take credit where credit is not due. Because we do wholesale and we sell products at Renovco, one of the technical managers who's a big fan of the show was listening. And he actually reached out to me and he gave me the answer, which was awesome.
Mm.
Because we're getting it from the horse's mouth. I mean, they do the manufacturing, they do the studies and the analytics and everything else. And in most cases, these things are engineered to last more than 30 years. 30. Yeah, 30 years. So that's a long, long, long time.
Wow.
Or as long as your toilet lasts, meaning whatever comes first. So if your toilet, if you need to change your toilet in 15 years, you're changing the wax ring with it at the same time. That's very important. Do not kind of say, oh, it's new and what have you. Just change the wax ring. So every time you change your toilet or you have an issue, you change it. But usually 30 years is your answer.
All right. Another one from the text line. Just a follow-up question about radon testing. Hi, guys. It's Steve. To go back to the question about radon testing, does Walter believe the permanent radon detector, such as the model called Air Things Wave 2 detector, is worth the money? They run about $200. I continue to monitor all the time. Do you think that's worth the money to get a permanent?
I mean, if you do the test and you don't have radon in your home, chances are you'll never have it. It's not every home. It depends on the area. It's a bit more. There's a lot more specificities, but I've never seen a house that tested no radon if the test was accurate and long enough. And then, you know, when you test it a few years later, it comes back. It's very rare that I've seen that. I haven't actually seen that, to say the least. But if your house did not test positive for radon, and then definitely do not invest in that. If you had radon issues in the past and you figured you need to monitor it, I mean, it doesn't really hurt to have it.
Just before we break, I went to, because I think you and I talked about the kitchen cabinets not too long ago, because our coffee machine broke down. We had to get a new coffee machine. It wasn't worth fixing, so I went and got a brand new Breville. But my wife wanted, well, we both wanted the coffee machine where they've got the grinder right on top now, you know, and it's so cool and convenient, you know, instead of grinding the coffee somewhere else. The thing is, the way our kitchen was designed back in 1994, there's not enough room to get it in. You know, there's just not enough height there. And we were talking to the woman in the store about that. She says, you don't know how many times people have complained about this issue. And a lot of the new homes now, the kitchen cabinets, as you probably know, are a lot higher. And so what that does, though, it frees up a lot of room on the counter. Mm-hmm. But you can't really use anything on the second or third shelf because you'll never reach it.
That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Now, when it comes to kitchen renos, that's why we say sometimes make sure to put all your appliances wish list, even though you don't want to buy it right away. Like, you know, sometimes...
Down the road.
You know, you say down the road, I want to buy a cappuccino machine or a coffee maker or what have you, but I don't want to do it right away because I'm investing a lot of money. Even if you do it in 3 years, we will design the place for it. It will be there. It will be done. And then once you're ready, you bring in the machine and you stick it in. And you can go into the appliances stores and they will give you those specs for free, meaning you don't have to buy it. You ask for the specs, you give it to the designer or the kitchen specialist, and they design the kitchen around your wish list, if you wish. Having said that, coffee machines, that's another thing that that is a bit painful, because, you know, the commercial quality ones that you go to stores and, you know, everything is right and...
Mm-hmm.
They typically have the, you know, you grind the coffee next to it, and it's not like in one machine or what have you. These are more commercial. They give a lot more pressure when brewing the coffee and everything else. So what happens is they're not made to be encastré. You can't install them inside the cabinet. So you have to kind of find a place on the counter, because they have to be floating, if you wish. That is an issue. So that in the design, a designer have to be really, really, really creative how to make this look nice.
But be functional.
So, you know, in retrospect, what we do in cases like this is we create a coffee corner. So make it look like a coffee shop, if you wish. And that will be part of the design. And sometimes it's completely separated from your kitchen for that reason.
The coffee corner. Yeah. With biscotti?
With biscotti and everything else, that's right.
Sold. I'm in.
That I bake myself.
Oh, look at that. Win-win. It's 9:45. Let's head outdoors and check with Jill on a look at the roads. Jill, a coffee corner. Do you have that in your play?
No.
Oh, my God. Come on. Now you're talking.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
The place where we answer your questions free of charge. It's great service. It's great customer service. Walter Assey from Inovco is here at 514-790-0800. I don't know if I've asked you this before. Maybe I have. And forgive me, I have no memory. But when it comes to generators, like everything else, are people dealing with a supply chain issue? Is there a wait for generators because of the demand? Especially over with the Christmas season we had with all the outages, right?
Not that I know about. We haven't really had any issues in that respect. A lot of the products, a lot of the manufacturing that is done in North America, we rarely had issues with. Canadian products, we at the beginning of the pandemic we had issues, but you know, long term, it wasn't so much of an issue. Luckily, in our supply chain, we look at local products first. We've always done that. It's to encourage the economy, to encourage the community, and it served us very well during the pandemic. So in generators, where you're going to have a supply chain issue is when you're going to have a major occurrence. So, example, after the ice storm, everybody wanted to install, you know, generators. In the hottest day of the year, usually everybody wants to install air conditioners. So I always say, do not wait until this major occurrence or catastrophe happen, because, yeah, you're going to have, first of all, the price are going to go up, supply is going to go up, price are going to go up, technicians are going to charge more expensive, and so on and so forth. So I remember, like, I was young, way very young, actually, in the ice storm time. So don't think I'm, okay. You know, I'm showing off right now. But I remember I was talking to one of the generator installers, and it goes, overnight, I increased my rates by 40% because of the deployment. Because nobody flinched, and you know, so it's kind of customer nature, human nature, I guess, to want to do that when there's a lot of demand on their product. The idea is, do it on your own terms when you need. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot more outages now. We are seeing. I mean, a few weeks ago, we had outages.
Sure. People for 5-6 days.
Five, six days. That's correct. Yeah. So don't kid yourself. It's happening. It's there. So especially in remote areas where it happens often and the lines are not underground, you're more susceptible to these things.
We have a friend who is undergoing a major bathroom renovation, and we were just talking about the cost and the budget. And I said, did you make yourself a little buffer in terms of what it's going to cost? Because isn't that a general rule of thumb when it comes to renovations? Like, always think that, okay, I might need an extra 15% here for the unexpected, the surprises that come along the way, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes and no. Where our school of thought comes from, if you have a lot of, if you have experience, typically, especially in a contractor that worked in your area, you've had experiences as a contractor renovating similar types of bathrooms or kitchens or basements. So you kind of have an idea on what the surprise might be. And it's very important, if you do, to be upfront about it with the client. Do not try to hide it on the table. I know sometimes we think of it, oh, it's, you know, I give the baseline for the client so he can hire me, and then, you know, I'll hit the extras later and what have you. And that's, for me, for us, if you know about it, it's an unethical practice. The more you, you're upfront with the client, the more they will appreciate you. Even if they don't take you this time, simply because you factored in those things that, you know, like, for example, when we're doing bathroom renovation, the first thing we do as a company is we do a mold test. We have machines who can detect humidity to see if there's going to be mold behind the walls. We have the technology for it. Why subject the client to this issue after you demolish and now put them under the gun, because they have to factor in a budget for the mold remediation and so on and so forth. You know, some people like to have all the information up front. Others like to stick their head in the sand and say, please, you know, I hope nothing bad is going to happen. 9 out of 10 times, something bad will happen. Mm. So, you know, a good contractor will have technologies. I'm not saying to eliminate all the extras. That's almost impossible. But I'm saying to go over the obvious ones. You have a bathroom that is 50 years old, that is falling apart. I mean, chances of you having mold behind this wall is extremely high. As a matter of fact, you have to for the protection of your client, you have to know before you start the demolition, because once you start the demolition, the mold is out.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not really doing them any favors then.
What he did, which was smart, which I know you always promote and preach, is the fact that they went out and they hired a professional designer. Mm-hmm. To lay everything out, because it's the big bathroom right off the master bedroom, so there was major work to be done. And so,
yeah. Or a contractor that have a designing facility or designer facility to save that portion, because, you know, it's sometimes you have certain designers that charge crazy amounts of money. So it depends on the scope and the complexity of the job. It's always great to do, the designer is always great to do the planning for you. Mm-hmm. And the color coordination, because some people are colorblind. And we see it often. You see, you know, it's not your profession. It's not what you do. And you know, you try to put colors together. And right. The chances are, if you can't put your clothes nicely together, you're not going to be putting a bathroom or a kitchen.
Okay. Why are you looking at me? from the text line, good morning, Ken and Walter. We recently found out that we have high levels of radon in our basement. Approximately how much does it cost to install ventilation to draw the air outdoors? And what's the best way to deal with this problem? That's from Colleen.
It's about $2,000 to $3,000, depending. There are companies that specialize in that. It's not, unfortunately, it's not a do-it-yourself type of operation. But it's anywhere between $2,000 to $3,000, depending on the area, depending on, you know, the contractors that are serving this area, and so on and so forth.
All right. Anything you could tell us about air leaks around windows and inside the from the electrical outlets? I think we touched on this the other week.
Yes, and that's something that is important discussion to have when you're doing a renovation. You can put sealed boxes on the outside, because it is a hole in an exterior wall, and if you're not urethaning that wall, cold air will come in.
Right.
So there are sealed gaskets that you can install, and that will stop the air right then and there. You can also do it after the fact. It's a bit more work, but if you're renovating and you have an exterior wall, always look into that first. I like, right now I'm almost all the time pushing urethane insulation, simply because fiberglass, yes, is cheaper, but you know, fiberglass moves. If it's not installed adequately, it could create thermal bridges and conductivity and what have you. So you don't really want to take these chances. Fiberglass, when it gets wet, it loses its R value. Mm. So yeah, you are spending less at the beginning, but you're spending a lot more down the line.
All right. Walter Assey from Renovco. I don't know if you're ready to answer this question or not, and feel free to say no. Ronnie's calling in. He wants some advice on his 2005 Camry.
you know what? We've had an in studio consultation before, so maybe
that's right.
Balcanda is really making their money's worth.
Ronnie, hang on. We have an expert by the name of Lisa Christensen who's going to handle that car show question. Walter, thanks for a great hour.
Always a pleasure, sir.
Walter Assey from Renovco. Back next Saturday morning at 9, of course, here on CJAD 800. Jimmy, thank you very much. We'll get together again tomorrow morning at 6. It's a date. Jimmy's going to stick around and handle the board for another couple of hours here. Yeah, Lisa's on the way in at 514-790-0800. I'm Ken Connors. Have a safe day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning on Weekends with Ken.